this NPR station.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental.
What you do is so important here.
I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture.
I appreciate the discussion, and it's a really kind of complicated one.
My comment is towards...
I want to go back to a caller called about he had a bed bug problem.
You know, you're the next generation of MNF.
And everybody can do that.
And your real voices and what you really think and what you're really concerned about.
Yes, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Winter Haven.
Yes, I was wondering if we could talk about...
You're bringing it out, and then you let your listeners call in and text in.
But you're also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives.
And I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating.
People don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's a really big thing.
And that's what's so important.
And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
The Urban Cafe welcomes your opinion. Join the conversation. Call now, 813-239-9663.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Do not attempt to touch your dial. You're listening to WMNF, the Urban Cafe, 88.5, your community radio station. However, trust your ears today. Trust your ears. We're going to be doing things a little different. We have got what we're calling Radio Boot Camp. Now, that Radio Boot Camp is for some folks who'd like to get into radio. They'd like to break into the radio. They'd like to get on air. And we are sort of auditioning for them. But it's there's several different aspects and layers of this, different challenges. And you'll be hearing a lot of different contestants, probably about 10 or 11 different voices today. And so we're hoping to be able to test their on-air skill sets to see how they react under pressure, if they can lie, read, if they can do other certain things. And so it's designed to test whether or not they've got the radio chops to handle it in a news and public affairs program sort of like ours. So one of the things we want you please to participate. First of all, before I go any further, I'd like to thank and say hello to everyone in the room with me today. We've got a full crew, period, all throughout the studio. But everyone in the studio, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, this is Studio One.
Studio
we're
going to
call this Studio One. And as Sam was elaborating on, these contestants are going to go through a few phases. And we have some people in the room now and judges. We have Joe on the board, of course. We have Miss Roman here in with us. She's going to be one of our judges. We have Nia running around here that is handling the contestants, taking them to and from. And we have our first contestant in, which we'll introduce in just a moment. And Sam's going to give a little bit more elaboration on how this is going to go and let you all know that we are at some point going to open up the phone lines at the end so you can tell us your thoughts on these contestants and so forth. So you are going to help us in this boot camp what do we want to call it? Just radio boot camp?
Yeah, radio boot camp.
Boot camp challenge. I like that.
Get a pen and paper, a pencil, whatever your favorite writing instrument is. If you've got a special tablet you can write on, do it on that. But take notes. Take notes and tell us what you like. So before we go any further, we've got a contestant in here. Nina, you got her hooked up on, she's on mic. So come on up to the mic. You've got your headset on. All right. Step up to make sure that the mic is not too low. Let's see if we can get pull it up just a tad, and be sure to speak right into it. Yeah, you getting it? All right. Nia's, there we go. So step right on it. So tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Maya. I am from Bowling Green, Florida. Small little country town with one stoplight, but I've been many places. I used to live in D.C., and I lived in L.A. before coming back here about 6 months ago. So
what were you doing out in LA? So you were from here and you decided to move out?
Yes, my background is actually in journalism. So I worked and I worked as a host. I've worked as an actor. And I also have written several different articles. So I used to be a reporter. So I've done all kinds of things. I used to live in D.C., did reporting there, lived in L.A., did the same thing there, producing. So I wanted to come back home. So right now, I'm actually teaching. So that's so different from what I was doing before.
Right. So let me just hone in on for just a second. So hone in on your reporting. Were you a beat reporter? Did you have a special?
Yes, okay. I was a beat reporter. I actually did real estate. I did education. I did just general assignment stories. So I've been in the swamp, and I've been at the school board. So I've reported on all different stories.
Right. So what brought you to M&F? So how long have you lived? First of all, how long have you lived in the Tampa Bay area? Do you have any kids? Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
I am single, no kids. I'm not married.
Oh, you're
so I'll get
half,
that out
half
of the way.
Part of the dinky.
She said, that's all you need to know for right now.
Yeah, right. So, I'm originally from this area. Bowling Green, Florida is about 45 to an hour away from Tampa. So, but this is pretty much my community because I come to Tampa all the time. So I wanted to come back home. This is where family is. And I wanted to just settle back. Doing a lot of traveling can weigh on you. And I do want to get married and have some children. So that's one reason why I came home.
Okay. This is the marriage pool. So what do you know? Tell us about M&F. Why did you get interested in us? Had you been listening to us?
Yes, I have. My best friend who actually listens to WMNF, and she introduced it to me, and she told me that I would be perfect to be on this radio show or just the Urban Cafe. So I started listening, and I love community radio. I love when you're able to talk about different topics, especially if it concerns the community. When I was in DC, I worked on a segment called Community Focus. And what we did, we interviewed people in the community, foster care, you know, directors of foster care homes, hospice care, things like that, where it actually affected and made an impact in the community. So that was kind of like my focus.
Yeah. Well, let me jump in and let me ask you. This is my name is Lo, and just to reintroduce myself, we met in the boardroom a little while later,
yeah,
and reintroduce myself to the listeners and Facebook Live. My question for you, since you're a teacher, actually, let me ask you about, and you also seem to be conscious about social issues. What are your thoughts on the gun violence and the fact that, you know, you have people out there that want to arm and train you to be a Leo pretty much while
right.
teach in the classroom?
For me, I don't think that giving them that opportunity to be armed, I just don't think that is it's not safe. You know, for me, I don't think it's a safe thing for teachers to actually have that because it creates more issues. I think that's going to be more policies we'll have to put in place. And I think that's for me, I don't feel like I would be comfortable with it. Even, you know, I don't want to, just because it's happening in the schools doesn't mean I want to be armed with it myself. You know, I understand, you know, students are coming to school, you know, especially what happened at Parkland in the Fort Lauderdale area. I just don't believe it's going to make a difference.
But Maya, let me give you some pushback on that.
Yeah.
What if a teacher that you were working with in the mm-hmm. school was trained, had extensive training, military training perhaps, or just extensive gun training, mm-hmm. Active shooter training, all of that. It's not you, but would you not feel a little more protected? A little more safe?
Not exactly.
Okay.
I can't say that I would feel safe with that because I feel like it creates more of an issue because we'll have to put things in place. And I think even for parents, I don't know if they would even be comfortable with teachers because, again, accidents happen. And even though he might be trained, he might have all the certificates or licensing that he's supposed to have, I feel like that would become a concern eventually. It may not, I think maybe okay if it was 6 months, you know, they were giving this kind of like a trial period of, you know, teachers being armed with you know, having guns. I think it would take a longer time for them to see the issue, but it would become an issue.
Right.
I just, you know, that's how I feel about that. Yeah.
And that's why we're here. We want to find out what you think.
Right, right.
So tell me about a topic. We'll do one with that. I'll let you decide. One that you feel on the radio or in the media is getting way too much coverage. Is it overblown coverage? And or give us what you think is undercoverage. What needs a little more light shown on it?
I think as far as, well, Donald Trump, actually.
For which of the two?
Donald Trump is definitely in the news constantly, and sometimes more often than what I would like to hear. Yes, you know, he is the president of the United States, and yes, there's going to be news about him, but I don't want to talk about him all the time. You know, I don't want to hear about him all the time, because I think the world that we're living in, with speaking of gun violence and all of that, we want to see a little bit more light in the world. And I just feel like as we hear him, it just gets dark. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I feel
like, an orange cloud.
He's here all day, folks.
He's always there. And even with Comey, you know, all of that, it's just blowing up. All of that is happening. And I just want to hear, I'm not saying fluff, but I want to hear about, just issues where, I guess, where we can actually combat something, where it's not, you know, okay, we're talking about gun violence, but the smarter ways. When I think about just with, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter and that issue, the protesting versus actually doing it in a way that actually makes a difference, and instead of just infusing violence in their protest, you know what I mean? But for me, the things that I actually like to talk about is health. So I definitely would want to hear more about that in the news. I currently have a vlog called Chronicles of a Gluten-Free and Dairy-Free Foodie, because I'm gluten intolerant. So so I talk about it all the time, and I feel like a lot of us are ignorant to it, and a lot of people have taken it on as a fad and not really knowing that people actually have an intolerance or have celiac. So for me, I like to hear about health, you know, food, how to eat, know the right foods for your body, know what you should intake, how you should exercise with your age and all of that. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, great. Yeah. Looking forward to hear more about that. All right. So now, do I have a drum roll here? I'm not sure I did. All right. So now we've come to the challenge.
The challenge.
All right. So what I'd like you to do is I would like you to take us to a break, right? And so you know what, you've been instructed in how that goes. You're ready for it? Okay, so when you're ready, hit it for us.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will discuss what it means to eat healthy. So stay tuned.
All right. So let me prompt you again. I want you to give me your name, station call letters, all of that, and then we'll try it one more time. Ready?
All right. This is Maya with the Urban Cafe, WMNF. Excuse me, I'll do that again. Welcome back. This is Maya from the Urban Cafe, WMNF. We'll discuss when we come. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss what it means to eat healthy. So stay tuned. Yeah. Mama told me, mama not to sell. Mama told you. 17-5 same color T-shirt. Every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., just like breakfast at Big Mama's house, we get together at the table to enjoy conversations with food for thought and lots of laughs. The community issues are addressed at our community table here on Community Radio, 88.5 FM. WMNF, every Sunday morning, this is where you should be.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You listen to WMNF, the Urban Cafe. And if you're
just tuned in or you tuned in without hearing us explain what's going on, you probably think you've fallen into a parallel universe. You have not. We've done this intentionally. You are listening to our radio boot camp for folks who want to try to get on the radio and make their voices shine. And we've got a new contestant. Good morning, good morning, mornings. You've got everything hooked up, I see.
Good morning, good morning.
Yeah, you can hear me? All right. Yes. So don't be afraid. Ooh, nice deep voice.
Sounded like
don't
Barry
be afraid.
White.
I know, right? Or Lou Rawls going on. So don't be afraid to talk right into that microphone because you sound like you've got a nice presence with your voice. So I think we're good. So, without further ado, tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, and, you know, just the give us the elevator pitch.
All right. My name is Chris Davis. I'm from St. Petersburg, Florida. I enjoy going fishing, hanging out with family and friends, coordinating stuff, playing video games, just enjoying life at this point.
Just by looking at you, I'm thinking you might be a millennial.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
those are 80 babies too, so I fall into that even though I don't claim it. So, you know.
just like on the edge of that. But as soon as you hear gaming as something that, you know, brings to like, this is who I am. Gamer, you're like, oh. Right. I mean, I play games too, but I don't consider myself.
You play Frogger.
I have.
Oh, Frogger
I have,
is old
I have
school,
played
though.
Frogger. Don't. All right. So what got you inspired about radio? What is it about radio? Do you listen to radio? Have you listened to radio? Do you listen to it a normal radio? You know, in the ether? Or do you listen to it on demand on TV? How do you do it?
I first got into radio when I went to Alabama State University. And I was like, I always want to be a radio host. Then once I went through the whole puberty thing, I was like, oh, I got a voice. I need to use my voice. And then so I used to practice like Barry White in the mirror, like, hey, y'all, how y'all doing? All right. But then I couldn't
see,
never
I knew
get it.
It
down.
Well, but you said something about you threw me off. You said puberty. Now, when did you hit puberty? I know men normally stop growing, what, age 21, 25, something like
something
that?
Something like that. But puberty's what, 13, 14, 15?
I don't know.
He's from Alabama State University, so tell us more about that experience. Are you a frat guy? Or?
I am not a frat guy. Mm-hmm. I wish I was a frat guy, but that was my first HBCU.
Oh, okay.
And I loved the experience. It was at the time, it was a small college, so like everybody was like worked together to do it. And then as soon as I left Alabama State, I came back home for a couple of years, and then I went off to FAMU Tallahassee. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, culture shock. This is bigger.
Yeah, that's interesting. So tell us about, because they're both HBCUs, right?
Right.
So what's the difference in Alabama? Not only size, obviously, in Tallahassee is bigger, but what was the difference, the on-campus difference? What was that vibe?
Oh, man. My favorite day was Fried Chicken Wednesday.
Where?
At FAMU. Uh-huh. Mostly every Friday was Set Friday. So that's when all the Greeks and sororities would come out, enjoy life, see them stroll, recruit people. And I was just like, it's so big, but yet so small. With Alabama State, it was still growing because a lot of people didn't really know about them in St. Pete. So it was like, you mentioned FAMU, everybody's like, oh, Marching 100, classic. So with Alabama State, it was like, the what? But everybody in Alabama knew who they were.
Right.
So
right.
So I have a question for you. So while you were in college, what did you study and what are you doing now professionally?
Oh, man.
And if you're not doing anything professionally, that's, you know, just plead the fifth.
Just give us a hobby.
Yeah. I was one of those kids that kept switching their majors. I was a music major. Then I was a vocal major. Then I was a jazz major. But then I said, you know what, I'll just stick to education. And when I came back to St. Pete, I ended up graduating, currently in school to get my master's. And I'm an ESC associate at Pinellas County School Boards. So it's just like, I'm in the field, let me get better at it, and let me continue to progress.
Is that a calling then? Teaching's a calling to you?
Yes. I mean, it's every day's not a dull day in teaching.
Okay. So I think Lo and I are thinking the same thing. We're going to ask you.
Or maybe not. But go ahead.
I'm about school violence. School violence.
Okay.
So in light of everything that's happened and continues to happen, one of the big solutions that's been put forward, whether or not it's a good solution, is different, but one of the solutions that a lot of people, and we need to, not only do we need to make the school a fortress, but we need to arm teachers. What's your take on that?
I wouldn't arm teachers for the simple fact because we've had stories come out where teachers accidentally shoot their guns off in the roots. And remember one of the articles said he struck a teacher, teacher struck a student by accident. I mean, and it's all about temperament. Some teachers are at that retirement age where it's like, okay, I'm ready to get out. So any little thing can set them off that says, hey, this is what I got and I'm going to use it. Or they could be trying to break up a fight and the kid can accidentally get shot.
So the same sort of societal triggers and pressures that set people off to shoot, to go up and shoot a school, are the same ones. Teachers don't do it. And by all means, I'm not saying the teachers are going to do that, mm-hmm. but they're susceptible to the same sort of triggers and pressures. And okay.
As anyone, I want to go back to your college days and what you majored in. Mm-hmm. So you said that you switched majors, but those majors were in like the music area,
right?
Vocal and so forth. So you sound like Barry White. But can you sing like Barry White?
I have not mastered that skill yet.
Okay. That's honest.
Because what I wanted to do, maybe not Barry White, but if you can sing a little bit, it will be the time to let us hear a little something.
Oh, no, I can't sing. I'm going to let you know now. I can sing with a group of people, but I can't sing individually.
I can sing in the shower. I sound wonderful in the shower.
Great. Oh, yeah.
So say I.
Yeah. Right? So with you having those changes in your major, it seems like you still have a strong interest in music, and so do I. So we share that commonality. What I wanted to know is, how do you feel that with coming to this station, this is a community-based station, which we offer a lot here, not just talk, we offer, of course, different music genres. What benefit do you think that you can get from volunteering at a station such as WMNF?
Just constant exposure to different people needs and different parts of the Bay. Being able to like connect with them on a community basis, learning what they're going through instead of what I've experienced, and being more acceptance to saying, okay, they handle this better. Let me learn how to handle it. So that way, when it's my turn to handle it, I can be able to transition to handle the role.
Okay.
All right.
So you're talking more like mentorship.
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
So, let me think here. So tell me a subject that you're passionate about that you don't think gets enough radio airplay.
Public administration and public policies.
Can you elaborate on that?
I'm taking my master's up in public administration, and we're dealing right now is the policy part, and a lot of people are misinformed on what is a policy, how does it work, how can they influence it, and being able to make that impact on it. And when people continue to not be educated on it, they miss a chance to impact it.
All right, so general civics. All right, so now, Chris, we've entered the challenge phase. Are you ready?
Boy.
So this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to give me your name, right, station call letters, the name of the show, whatever word you like, and take us to a break.
All right. Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Chris Davis, and you are now listening to the Urban Cafe at 85.5 FM WMFN. Coming up next is more fabulous, generous contestants with your hosts, and they will be back shortly after these messages.
Most of them gon' talk, I know.
Good job.
Most of them gon' fall, I know, I know. We gon' bet it all, I know. Oh, oh, oh. We gon' bet it all, I know.
88.5. We have had shows that really focuses on saving people's life, transforming people's life, changing. Remember that show about Maria Fabian? That was phenomenal. She was the homeless youth that was in school. I mean, that was incredible. You know, it's a beautiful thing when humans can give and support a cause, isn't it? It's awesome because you're contributing to something bigger than yourself.
Right.
It's not just about you. It's about the people that are homeless. It's about the people who are impacted by sex trafficking and don't know where to go.
WMNF.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
We Well, I just had a Wizard of Oz moment in my head, and I'm not gonna. I won't share. We're the Lollipop Gang, though. Hey, you listen to the WMNF 88.5, the Urban Cafe, and we have mixed things up. So if you're just tuning in, you'll expect our quality programming. We're giving you an extra dose of that quality programming, but not what you expect. We're doing a radio boot camp. Now, that radio boot camp is for people who want to test their chops in the and navigate the waters of radio land and see if they can hang with the big boys at the Urban Cafe. And girls. I didn't forget the girls. I'm not going to get a Me Too moment.
All right.
Hey, so we got our next contestant. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All righty, right. So tell us your name and a little bit about yourself.
My name is Clarence Brown. I'm from here in Tampa. I'm 32 years old. I have a podcast that I host here in Tampa. It's a male perspective dating and relationship podcast. It's called the Male Translations Podcast. So with that, interview guests, we discuss different relationship issues, try to detail a male perspective on different relationship topics and just kind of give you a little bit of comedy, insight, and honesty on relationship topics and just try to be transparent and as real as possible while not trying to offend anybody.
Oh, I hear you. So, and what do you do? What do you do in the real life?
Well, my day job, my 9-to-5,
yeah, right.
Which takes care of my reality right now, is I'm a pharmacy technician. So I work over at the Moffitt Cancer Center. I'm making chemotherapy for cancer patients, any infusions that are needed in the infusion area. Myself and a couple other pharmacy technicians, we work in the IV room, mixing and making chemotherapy to go out and, you know, hopefully save lives.
So are you also a phlebotomist or no?
No phlebotomist.
No phlebotomist.
I just make the drugs. They do the rest of it.
Is it a compound pharmacy?
Yeah. So, like I said, like we're working in the IV room. It'll be me and maybe like five other individuals that make IVs. It's not as intricate as people may think when it comes to making. It's really just draw up 10 mls of this.
Mm-hmm.
It may be chemotherapy drug, and I just shoot it into a bag at whatever dose is needed, and then it goes out.
But it's always a double check. You got to make sure you got
the right. Yeah, that's what a pharmacist is for.
All right. So what has gotten you into radio? What is it about radio that is? I mean, do you listen to radio? Do you listen to it on air? I know you do a podcast. So there's at some point you're listening to some kind of radio because podcasting is almost radio. So.
Well, I love radio. You know, when it comes to listening, you know, I listen to righteous music and ratchet music. I got a little mix of both. You know what I mean? So I might be gospel on Monday and Tuesday.
The saint and the sinner.
Right. Hey, we all saints and sinners. Yeah, it's a little bit of both. But what got me here is just my own desire to be in radio. My goal and my dream is to have my own talk show one day as far as like a TV situation. So having my own podcast, I thank God for giving me the platform to have that, to have people listen and try to gain insight. So I want to be able to do the same thing when it comes to radio and just share my perspective, bounce them off other individuals, and be able to kind of enlighten folks on different angles or different ways of viewing things when it comes to situations in life. So.
All right.
Clarence, I like what you say and how you say it. What I want to ask you more pointedly is as far as we have so many different radio hosts in the past that we've all grown up watching, right? Ricky Lake,
right.
Jerry Springer, was Montel, all of that, right? Of course, Oprah Winfrey. And with Jerry Springer in particular, you know, what I've noticed is that he first started off, like what you mentioned, you mentioned a lot about, you know, speaking positive and doing things for a positive reason,
right?
For the right reason. So what I want to know, Jerry Springer pretty much went from a positive talk show host and then he went ratchet.
Right, yeah.
So what can you speak to if you do have that dream achieved, which we're going to claim that, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
How are you going to stay straight to what your mission is today, what you're stating today here on the Urban Cafe? How are you going to, you know, deal with those challenges that maybe Jerry Springer went through or what have you to kind of stick to what you're stating you are, who you are today?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that my relationship with God allowed me to stay on the straight and narrow when it comes to sticking to my morals, my goals, and, you know, not going too left with things. But at the same time, you know, I am still a regular person. So I think that people in life, you know, they have a mix of both. So I'm not going to say that I'm going to be, you know, this TD Jakes or radio or nothing like that. But at the same time, you know, everybody has two sides to them. So being able to show that transparency and not really worry about, you know, what people think of me, I think will draw more viewers and more listeners than me trying to fit into a box. So it might be, you know, the Ratchet Jerry Spring on one day, and then you might see another side of me on Tuesday or Thursday. So, but I think that just being able to show both sides, all sides of myself, will allow people to feel more comfortable calling in, be able to express themselves openly, and everything will just come full circle from that point.
So we haven't done this yet, and you're my personal guinea pig now. we're gonna do what we've called Raw, random access wheel. So there are a series of topics on it, and all you need to do is take a little spin of it, and whatever it lands on, we want to hear your views on
it.
Ready?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
He spent it really
dizzy
hard.
On the sneak tip. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to look at it.
Pay equity is what Clarence chose. So we would like you to speak on pay equity as far as to tell us your thoughts on that.
Pay equity. Truly, I have no idea. Like,
all right.
To elaborate on that more.
It accidentally went to me too.
I was going to give him some clarity on that, but actually I wanted him to speak on
Too. Sure.
So yeah, we can switch it up. Well, I'll take that lead. Yeah, go ahead. So you're the relationship person, so I think can speak to that.
Well, listen, man, when it comes to the Me Too movement, I got a hot take on it in a sense, because the way it's been coming out with, you know, women kind of, you know, speaking to the experiences that they've had, a lot of it has made me cringe in a certain aspect. I really think it's changing the way society is going, because nowadays, like, I talk to a couple of my partners and we talk about how hard it is for a man who's single to actually be just friendly with a woman nowadays. And so, you know, especially like if you're a person in the limelight, or, you know, you're a public figure, it's very, very tough for you to be friendly nowadays without coming across too flirtatious, or you kind of, you know, she think that you thirsty on the low. And so, you know, I think I was talking with a couple of fellas on my podcast, and we were discussing how now, you know, it seems like when women want men to be, you know, be real man, approach me, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know, be man enough to come and talk to me and not worry about, you know, fitting into a certain box or whatever. It's hard for a man now, because it's almost like you gotta try to approach a woman without really being too forward with what you want in terms of a relationship, or just having a open line of communication with her, because you never know where it's going to go. And then too, when it comes to you being in a relationship, you know, me, myself, I'm married. So I have to kind of treat women differently now, especially if they're attractive. So if whether it be in the workplace or just be out with friends or whatnot, like, people can view me just speaking to a woman. Like, I could be at a restaurant just asking a lady for another drink, but the way I do it, if I lean over a certain way and I'm, you know, kind of got a little arch to my shoulders or something, they're like, oh yeah, he hollering, he talking to her. And it's just perceived a lot of different ways. Somebody could take a picture of that and then send it to my wife, like, you know where your husband at? Like, I'm just buying some wings. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely nuanced. But we got to cut it off there. And I want to take you into the challenge. So this is the challenge portion of the interview.
Okay.
So if you're ready, I need your name, call letter, then station name, and what we're breaking for.
Okay. So guys, make sure you tune in, stay tuned, because we're going to be talking about money and women. No, I'm just kidding. No, but we're going to be talking about a lot of different topics coming up soon. So I need you guys to stay tuned. This is the Urban Cafe, 88.5 WMNF. And we're out.
I really really thought it was good that we were able to bring in the superintendent of the school come in and be able to answer questions that we had and that the callers had.
That's right. You know, they're not just calling and speaking to us. They're speaking to everybody. Your voice gets around to hundreds and thousands of listeners within the Bay Area and beyond. And it is exciting because these shows are also recorded and you are able to go online and text your comment or call into the station.
Could be the biggest WMNF tribute show ever. 38 of the best Tampa Bay area bands. Two nights, Friday, May 25th at Skipper Smokehouse and Saturday, May 26th at Janice Live, playing the music of 1982 and 83, celebrating the US festivals. Tickets are $15 for one night, $25 for both nights. Go to WMNF.org to see the band list and to get tickets.
Welcome.
I know you like that.
I know you're gonna like the Urban Cafe, WMNF 88.5. If you're just tuning in, we are mixing things up a little bit today. We are running what we're calling a radio boot camp for the folks in the regular world who want to get their feet wet in the radio world. And we're, we've got a series of challenges. One of them is the on-air, and we've got a new contestant here in the studio with us, and a couple of other challenges that we have a series of judges that are grading them on presence and several different things. Roman is our special guest, judge. And what we'd like to do, we're going to take some phone calls, not now, but at the end of our show. So once we have all the contestants, I'm figuring it's going to be in the last half an hour, probably the last 15 minutes, because the first 15 minutes we're going to talk to some of the judges and find out what their take is on some of this. Because as we're doing it, it's we're getting a vibe. But if you're standing back listening to it, as you probably should be, also Facebook, I want to encourage you to of course like and share as always, but also send your comments, because Lo's locking it down there for us, and we'll certainly use some of those comments when we do the review. All right.
And Sam, why don't we go ahead and throw out the phone number, so just in case someone needs to jot it down now.
Sure.
But the phone number is 813-239-9663. All right.
Once again, that's 813-239-9663. Act now. All right. So come on and step up to the microphone. Don't be shy.
Okay.
There
Good
you go.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning. So tell us who you are and a little bit about yourself. Give us the sort of minute and a half elevator pitch. How about
that? Okay. My name's Claire May. I'm recent relocated to Tampa Bay area from California. I am an artist and a producer of events, and I've got a very varied background in five different industries, mainly focused on communication. So I thought I'd try my hand at this. It's the first time I've been on this side of a microphone. I've done the other things behind the scenes at radio stations and other TV and recording. So I thought, well, okay, this is next. Let's try it. See if I can get through this.
So you said that you relocated. So you're from the Tampa Bay area, is that right?
No,
or from Florida area?
I'm actually born in New York, lived in California for 42 years, and just moved to Florida.
Oh. Well, and how's the culture shock going?
Fine. I love it. I love it. I get bored easy, so this is good.
Those are three absolutely, totally different demographics.
Absolutely. It's triangle, I guess. Yeah, I made my own triangle.
Yeah. There you go. So would you consider yourself a news junkie, or how do you digest your news?
I get it all over the place, and including from my son, who's I raised him to be political. I used to take him on peace marches. I almost got arrested once for protesting a nuclear power plant. But I've been voting since I was 18, and I actually left New Jersey being in college because I got involved with the teacher strike as a student ad hoc committee member. And I was so frustrated the next semester that I said, I'm moving to California, which I did.
lived in a pup tent for 3 months. And I've always been keeping an eye on political issues. My main thing is education and children.
So, you know, at the end, near the end, we're going to have you possibly spin that wheel that you see there. So in case you don't land on this, I'm just going to go ahead
you.
And ask you the question.
I knew you were going here.
So I want to have your perspective on the movements that are going on today, whether it be the students, whether it be women, whether it be Black Lives Matter, in regards to protests and activism, and how that goes hand in hand or not doesn't go hand in hand with voting. So since I think you would be a person that can speak on that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, 2 years ago when we had the Women's March, I was there in California, got my girlfriends out to join me, and then recently was in Tampa doing the march with all the students. I had a sign. I was giving some volunteer time to OFA, and I was helping people see if they were currently registered at their current address, because a lot of people move, they forget that part. So we're just kind of supporting that to get them registered. Back in California, after the Chad experience here in Florida, I became a voter poll inspector, because that's how much I care. I think all of the issues you mentioned are very important. I think everybody should have a voice. I want to bring it into the education. I'm so happy that the kids are rising up. I think it's great that women are responding. I mean, we've got a powerful force in us, and we brought you all here anyway. So I think we ought to remind you, we taught you your manners. Now we're going to teach you a little more.
All right. Well, yeah. And sometimes I think
got a little feisty.
You gotta have it. You gotta have it. So you've touched on a series of, and Alo was alluding to that too. But give us some of the stuff that is underreported that you think now this needs some more coverage to it.
Well, one thing that I've always seen, and I experienced it in my past myself, is being underemployed. Women who are parents, single parents, they may not have all the resources. They're underemployed or unemployed. One of the things that I've decided to do is start a free women speaker network where women who have experience, they can come, and I'll start doing events where we bring women from the community in so they can hear these women, inspire them, because they need a little help. We all need a little help rising back up to where we can be, to our own potential. There's a lot of potential out there.
All right, so let's bring it local, because we are a local community.
Yes.
Radio. So give me a topic or a situation, event, or something that is on the local level, either in Tampa, St. Pete, or wherever our 100,000 watts broadcast to, that's important. And so
Well, the voter rights right now is important. We need to make sure we get people interested in voting, educated about voting, registered to vote. It doesn't matter what part of town they're from. We just really want to get more people to get their voice out, being heard.
Okay, so voting would be...
Yeah.
So that's statewide. But what if I'm going super local?
Well, I'm new, so...
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right, well, listen, California. What was your big... where were you located in California?
I was in North California, Sonoma County.
All right, so Northern California. Redwoods and acid rain. All
water.
The, so.
Water was an issue, obviously. You know, as you know, they had all those fires. They would do crazy things like they built a new school, a new high school. They didn't put sidewalks in, but then they said, we're on a water, you know, moratorium, but they build this fancy development up on top of the hills. They put all the sidewalks. Nobody even walks there. So here you got a high school that didn't get the funds for sidewalks and a development that got the funds for all this stuff, including fountains in front of their yards when we're on a water moratorium. What the heck? You know, telling people down at the bottom of the hill, conserve water. Something's wrong there. So,
yeah.
And actually, unfortunately, the first month that the high school opened, a child got hit by a car because he wasn't walking on a sidewalk.
Wow. It looks like at least you were woke in California. We'll see if you get woke now in Florida. All right, so we're going to take it to the challenge level now. And I hope you versed on this. You ready to go?
I'm a winger. I'll okay, go so, by the seat of my pants if
all right,
I have
so, so take us a break.
Take you a break. Okay. My name's Claire May. The show is the Urban Cafe. The station call letters are 88.5 FM, WMNF. Coming up next, we're going to have anything. Let's see. We're going to have some more local information for you. We're going to tell you about some events that are coming up and some important issues we'd like you to know about.
All right. All-
This is Val Trinda from the Urban Cafe, and on behalf of the Urban Cafe, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us every single Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live. For those who join us early, thank you so much for not missing one moment of our fun and excitement. We also want to thank those for sharing, because sharing the page allows others to catch the show at a later time. Thank you for those who comment. All of your comments are appreciated, and you know we read some of them on the air. We want to thank those for liking the Urban Cafe page, because it tells Facebook how popular we are becoming.
Do you know that used electronics are the fastest growing waste stream in the world today? WMNF and Regency Technologies are celebrating Earth Day from April 16th through the 27th by collecting your used computer equipment, hard drives, and other equipment at the station. Your participation will ensure that these items are recycled in a safe, secure, and sustainable manner. And together, we can keep the Tampa Bay area beautiful for years to come. For an acceptable list of items, please visit www.wmnf.org.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on,
you good?
Come on.
I know you like that.
Yeah,
I know you like that.
Welcome back. Everyone listening in the universe, we have taken over your airwaves. WMNF 88.5, the Urban Cafe. I am Sam, your host. I'm here with Lo and Joe and Roman in the Studio One. And we are doing our radio boot camp. I've been saying this. So if you're just tuning in, don't fret, don't panic. It's a little bit a different format. We are allowing some people who have expressed interest in getting into radio, and especially the public affairs and news portion of that, and we're putting them through the ringer. We're testing them out. We're seeing whether they got the chops, whether they can hang with some of us seasoned professionals and veterans. But and also, before we go on any further, we also would like to hear from you. So we're going to open up the phone lines. Don't stop dialing at the end of the show. So with about 15 to 20 minutes left is where we're going to start taking some of those phone calls. And we're very curious to hear what your reaction is, what you thought of them. It can even be about the process that we went through today. Maybe you've got a tip for us there. Be nice. This is only the second time we're doing this, but we're encouraged to hear what you have to say. So, with that, I'm going to ask Joshua to step right up to that microphone, and I've already given your name away, but I'm going to ask you to give it again and give us sort of an elevator pitch: who you are, where you're from, what you do, all that.
All right. Well, good morning to all our listeners out there and to everybody here in the studio. My name is Joshua Rivera. I currently work for Moffitt Cancer Center, and I work in the IT portion, so kind of a tech geek, if you will. But I have a passion for public affairs, current affairs. I do a lot of volunteer work, mostly related to cancer advocacy and cancer research. I'm a cancer survivor myself. I've been in Tampa for 11 years now. I was actually born here, but then left, and life brought me back.
Oh, where'd you go?
So I grew up in Puerto Rico. My family's all from Puerto Rico, my biological parents. And then I lived in St. Paul, Minnesota for some years as a child.
That's where most Puerto Ricans go, right?
Yeah. So
they go from extreme warm to extreme cold.
Yeah. And then actually I left St. Paul, went back to Puerto Rico to finish from third grade to senior year of high school. So I grew up in Puerto Rico, I like to say, because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. And but then after high school, I went up to Columbus, Ohio for college, and lived in Columbus, Ohio, a great city, too far away from the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And then I moved to Tampa because I have some from relatives here.
Okay. So you mentioned IT. So all IT geeks are the different platforms, right?
Yeah.
And so I can imagine. Do you listen? First of all, do you listen to terrestrial radio?
I do not, actually.
You don't.
No.
So you listen. It's on demand. Or you stream it.
So I mostly do podcasts. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like my current affairs side,
right,
if you will.
Okay. And what do you generally listen to then, if you're listening to, because a lot of radio shows go directly, you know, they tape it and then it becomes, well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And it becomes, you know, technically a podcast.
Yeah.
But so what? So,
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? Is it sports? Is it music?
So on my side, I listen to my own music. I don't listen to a lot of radio music, but when it comes to radio, I'll listen to NPR, I'll listen to 88.5. As far as the podcasts, mostly I guess you consider them left-leaning podcasts, and so that's kind of the where I fall in that realm.
So elaborate on it. What's your own music? What do you mean by that?
So I'm a reggae head, big reggae, like reggae roots, raga roots, growing up on the islands, and then old school salsa,
ska.
I do ska, but I'm more of a mellow person, actually.
Okay.
So I like it mellow. I do like my hip hop, and then I'm really starting getting more. I kind of got stuck in '90s hip hop, and so but now I'm listening to more stuff like Kendrick Lamar, and you know, even stuff like Frank Ocean. I really dig Frank. So
all right, so you hit one of our. This is so funny. We're not having people spin this now. Spin our random access wheel. However, you touched on one of the topics that I think we were. Lo and I are both interested in hearing. So if I'm sure you're aware then, you said Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
You're aware that he won
the
Pulitzer
Prize,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do you think about? What does that mean for music in general, and what does it mean?
Well, I think it's a long time coming. I think, you know, you can go back to the NWA. They were, yeah, they may have been a little too aggressive and maybe anti-police, but they were bringing to light issues within the African-American community back then, and it's not until 25, 30 years later that, you know, the you know, people like the Pulitzer Prize are recognizing that. So Kendrick isn't, I don't feel Kendrick is breaking new ground as much as just reinforcing what's already been established from a music perspective, you know, that it's not, you know, all about the party and whatnot. No, there's legitimate community concerns.
Let me ask you this, just to give me a yes or no. Could this have happened if Hamilton hadn't been such a success?
Yeah.
Okay. Lo?
All right. So my fellow Puerto Rican. Puerto Rico. Oh. Right. Y'all know what's up. So the question that I want to ask you more, this is something that's going to more so kind of pull at the heartstrings a little bit, at least for me. So what I want to ask you about is your thoughts on Puerto Rico and the lack of assistance during the recovery or with the recovery. Since you grew up there, you know, I would think that hits home for you, but I'm going to let you elaborate on that, you know, and definitely give us your point of view, the power outage and just the recovery itself. Touch on that?
It's been very emotionally and trying. You know, my parents are there, my grandparents, my uncles, my aunts are still there. I'm going there next weekend. And so it's been a failure at all levels, but it's a failure decades in the making. Corruption, misuse of government funding for infrastructure projects, investing in the wrong infrastructure projects. And so this isn't something, Maria didn't cause this. Maria is, you know, just exploited it all, right? And another big thing that I've noticed, so there's a town called Guaynabo, which is up pretty affluent town. And so weeks after the hurricane, you know, the local wine bar was up and running, right? But 20 minutes away, you have people living under tarps. And it's still that way 7-8 months later. And so it's like people put a blindfold on. But that blindfold, now all the vegetation got removed. So you can literally see those tarps, whereas before the vegetation covered it, right? And so it's, I think as a community, the people are rising and they're aware of, but the question is, we know what needs to happen. They just don't know how to put it in. Like, we need to move to renewable energy resources, you know, maybe 40-50% of the grid, right?
Tesla.
Tesla, you know, what they did in Australia, you know, like Elon Musk said he would be willing to do that in Puerto Rico. Why not? What is the red tape stopping that? And the red tape is decades worth of political families and nepotism ingrained in the culture that's preventing that.
And it's also been selling, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't do that, but it's also selling debt to hedge fund vulture capitalists and stuff like that.
Without a doubt.
So in a couple of seconds, because Puerto Rico's gotten a lot, so this is an interesting topic.
And,
So Puerto Rico has been struggling, but they have sort of the light shone on them. This is the plight that's going on. But somehow the